We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the House of Hoosier podcast brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. February is winding down. And we sit here as an Indiana podcast feeling deflated and wondering what the heck to talk about. Is Indiana currently on a 4-game losing streak? You know us by now. I'm Austin Platt alongside Ben Howard. Got a special guest today from Indiana Rivals. We brought on Mason Williams earlier this year back in November to talk about the Empire Classic. That feels like years ago, and that's when Indiana actually had expectations. But joining us today, Zach Browning. Zach, thank you very much for taking the time. It is not easy to come on and talk about this basketball team right now, but we thank you for doing so.
I appreciate you guys having me. I'm always down to talk some Indiana basketball.
The Hoosiers, well, we've talked about it on a 4-game skid, and now questions are being raised about Mike Woodson's job security and what does the future of this basketball team look like under the current helm. I think that's where we want to focus on today. But, you know, Indiana, Saturday they lost to Penn State, got swept by the Nittany Lions. It's the first time ever that Indiana is going to go winless against Penn State, Northwestern, and Nebraska. Those three teams, Indiana, going to go 0-5 against. It's the first time ever in the history of this historic program that that will ever happen. So firsts are happening, not the way we want to see them, but Zach, lately in these four games, the issue is, I think, for the fans, we called the Northwestern game together. We've seen a lot. It's just the same issues over and over again. It's the free throw shooting. It's the turnovers. It's the rebounding. Indiana's out shooting their opponents in most of these games from field goal, from making more shots and having a better percentage, but they're still losing them, and most of them by pretty big margins. What the heck is going on?
It's because this Indiana roster is really flawed in a sense of that the construction of the roster just isn't built to win together, and especially to win in the modern era of basketball, and we're in 2024. You've got two traditional non-shooting bigs. Now, I say non-shooting bigs, but if you look at the Big Ten numbers, Khalil Ware is the best shooter, the best three-point shooter on Indiana's roster in Big Ten play. That's not going to win you very many ball games when your 7-foot center is your best three-point shooter on your team in Big Ten play, and I think that's really the foundational and core issues with this Indiana roster. It's two traditional bigs surrounded by a severe lack of shooting. And we have guard play that hasn't necessarily lived up to what you would have wanted it to this season. I think you get a combination of the guard play, poor shooting, just not being able to knock down free throws, not being able to knock down three-pointers. All of those are structural issues based in the roster itself and the construction of the roster. I think that's really all come together as of late. The Hoosiers were able to kind of stem the tide a little bit early on in the season in some non-conference games against some not as great opponents. But now in the Big Ten, especially here at home, they've just not been able to put together a full game where they've been able to kind of overcome some of their roster struggles.
I think that's a good first thing to bring up, because I think it's funny if you have followed, well, I don't know how funny it is, but if you followed the last few press conferences from Mike Woodson, and just he seems very lost. He seems very confused as to why that too big lineup isn't really working. And he's taking all the blame. Don't get me wrong. That's one thing I'll compliment him on, is he's taking a lot of blame for what's going on right now and for the losing. But he brought up a statement the other day. It was like his argument was, well, when we have one, it's been because of our bigs. Well, it's because you've never had that great of guard play in the first place. And when you won last year, a lot of it was, if it wasn't for Trayce Jackson-Davis, it was because of Jalen Hood-Schifino. How much of that do you think Woodson's just being ignorant and arrogant and won't change? Or how much of it do you think he's starting to figure out and you think he'll change down the road?
You bring up a good point there, Ben, and I really do think that Woodson is just a strong-minded individual. If you look at his roster, Xavier Johnson was his guy. When Woodson first came and joined the Hoosiers, Xavier Johnson was the guy that he brought in out of the transfer portal, and he believes in him, and he's really stuck behind him. But Woodson also made a comment earlier this morning on his Zoom with the media this morning. He said, he's like, I take all the blame. What we've gone through this season, I take a lot of the blame for that. But then he also followed that up by saying, I'm not the one out there missing wide open 3-point shots. And I think that's really where he is starting to understand. He knows it. The team knows it. Everybody knows it watching Indiana basketball. This team can't shoot. And in 2024, in this century, in the modern era of basketball, you have to be able to shoot or at least have a threat to knock down shots. But we've seen with opposing teams this year, they just don't respect Indiana whatsoever from behind the 3-point line. So they can pack it in on Khalil Ware and on Malik Renu. And he's got a point. Indiana has, when they've won games, it has been because of Renu and Ware. But again, as the season's gone on, teams have begun to adjust to that. And at this point, teams are just leaving guys like Trey Galloway and leaving guys like Gabe Cupps and CJ Gunn open from 3-point range, and Indiana hasn't been able to hurt them.
I take that as he's in job scramble mode. I think, this I've read, plenty of stuff lately. His job was surely safe at the beginning of this year. It would have basically taken, something that has been god awful for him to even be in the conversation. But here we sit, nothing has changed. And I take that as, well, he's clearly being told something, whether it's his family members or other people that are higher up than him that are close to him and saying, this is what the Twitter heads are saying. And I'm not saying Indiana fans on Twitter are going to sway a decision one way or another, but I take that as, he is quite literally, he's trying to save his job right now because he figured going into this year, there was no shot this would even be a conversation at this point. But I'm under the belief that he is just trying to save his job and trying to kind of deflect any blame to himself. When this year, he quite admitted a few games ago, he threw Malik Renu under the bus, who's been one of his best players and someone who he has quite literally done a great job of transforming from year one to two. He's been pointing fingers, and now all of a sudden, all the fingers being pointed at himself. I take that as he's trying to save his job, Zach. Am I crazy or no?
You're definitely not crazy. And I think it's never wrong. I'm not going to get too upset at Woodson for the comments he made about Malik Renu the other night because Malik Renu wasn't good and he has been good all this year. So at this point, Mike Woodson and Indiana should expect more out of Malik Renu. These guys are college athletes. They've been yelled at before by coaches. They've heard coaches say worse things than that. Maybe not publicly, but they've definitely had coaches say worse things than that. The biggest thing for Woodson, especially when he's speaking publicly and to the media, is what he says about Xavier Johnson. He keeps coming back to Xavier Johnson. It's been countless times this season. The quote is, we haven't had our full deck this season. We haven't been healthy and whatnot. But that's still his problem. If you can't build a team that has enough depth in case one guy gets injured, I mean, Indiana's not been super healthy this year. You look at a guy like Ja'Kai Newton, I'm sure Mike Woodson would love to have him healthy right about now, playing some backup minutes, and even with Xavier Johnson now playing some potential starter minutes. But you have an injury to one, maybe two backcourt pieces on this team. That's not being ravaged by injuries. That's not good enough to be used as an excuse. You have a fifth year guy in, or a fourth year guy in Trey Galloway, a fourth year guy in Anthony Lill. You have, not, I wouldn't call him a veteran, but CJ Gunn, who's been here for at least a year. You've got guys in that backcourt. At some point, you have to steer clear and stay away from that excuse that not having Xavier Johnson, who wasn't even good when he was healthy this year for Indiana, you have to get rid of that excuse because it's exactly what it sounds like. It's an excuse.
The question I just keep coming back to, and trying to ask myself this when evaluating the future of Indiana and evaluating if Woodson's the right guy, it's like the question is 1 year enough? Indiana made their first tournament in what, 5 or 6 years, his first season. The next season got a four seed, second or third of the Big Ten. And a lot of people, the argument they want to make, the Fire Woodson crowd wants to make, is, oh, it's all because of Trace. He got one good recruit in Jalen Huccifino, and Trace Jackson Davis was such a big reason, who wasn't even one of his guys. Well, if you really believe that, then you kind of have to treat this year, where he has maybe one guy that wasn't his, you have to treat this year as his first year. And you're not never firing a guy after his first year as a head coach. A lot of the flaws this year have been on like Mike Woodson, absolutely. But I think he has to have a little bit of a chance, right, to improve on it and learn from it.
You're exactly right there, Ben. You mentioned that a lot of these guys are not his guys. And you mentioned the Trace Jackson Davis argument. Yes, Trace Jackson Davis was a big part to those teams. But if you remember, Mike Woodson actually re-recruited Trace Jackson Davis back to Indiana. He pulled Trace Jackson Davis out of the NBA draft kind of pool. And there's some factors into that, like Trace Jackson testing positive for COVID during the combine and whatnot. But still, Mike Woodson re-recruited Trace Jackson Davis back to Indiana. So I think you have to classify that as a recruiting win. And then when you look up and down the roster, yes, there's been some disappointments like Caleb Banks. He's a Woodson guy. He hasn't necessarily been that great. Gabe Cupps is a Woodson guy. But then you look at some of the other guys that people point to who are struggling. You look at Xavier Johnson. He's a Woodson guy, but CJ Gunn's not a Woodson guy. He was committed to the class after Woodson joined, but that was an Archie recruit. Archie got CJ Gunn to Bloomington. And you're exactly right. He's already made two more Big Ten tournaments than Archie Miller did throughout his entire tenure with Indiana. And you could say maybe the COVID year where the tournament got canceled at Indiana would have made the tournament there with Archie. But still, that's besides the point. And this is going to be an important offseason for Woodson. This is why I'm a big advocate for him staying at least one more year, because he's got the opportunity to change the narrative altogether this offseason. You look at who's going to be leaving Indiana this offseason. Xavier Johnson will be out of eligibility. Khalil Ware will likely be heading to the NBA. You've got 2 fourth-year guys and Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal who have decisions to make and if they want to play a fifth year here at Indiana or if they want to go elsewhere, if they want to turn pro and see what their options are in that regard. So he's going to have a chance to pretty much reshape his entire roster in the offseason if he's given the chance to do so. He's already got good pieces. Gabe Cupps, Ja'Kai Newton, those are good pieces to a good backcourt, probably off the bench to start their careers, especially for Ja'Kai Newton next year when he's playing effectively his first year for the Hoosiers. But he's got guys, CJ Gunn. I'm a big fan of CJ Gunn. He's a guy that shoots 40% from 3-point range in Big Ten play. I know he's struggled, especially about last year. He's had his struggles this season, but he's one of the few guys on this Indiana roster that is actually willing to take 3-pointers. And that's something that can't be understated. He's a guy that will play good defense for you. He's long, he's athletic, he's a good perimeter defender. So I think if you look at the guys and the pieces on this roster, I didn't even mention Mackenzie Mbako. He's got a decision if he wants to come back to Indiana next year. There's pieces on this roster. So I think if you give Woodson one more offseason with the NIL power that Indiana basketball does have, give him one more chance to reshape his roster because he put a lot of his eggs in the Xavier ba Johnson basket heading into this season. And obviously, we know that didn't work out. So give him one more chance. This is only his third year. Give him another chance and see what he can do this offseason. See what he can do as far as the portal goes, as far as maybe recruiting some 2025 guys. Freshman, as far as freshman concerned, but yes, I agree. This should be considered Woodson's first year with his guy, so give him a little bit more time.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We've said a lot about Xavier Johnson. If when he comes back, you know, last year he broke his foot against Kansas and we all thought there's no chance he's coming back. And, you know, he at least showed in February and March signs that maybe he could return. Eventually, it was like the last week of the year, they said, all right, let's just not go down that road and have him. Basically, they had a pretty good feeling he'd get the waiver, which he did. If Xavier Johnson comes back, what should his role be within this team? I know I've said I don't think Xavier Johnson should even step on the court again. I just don't think, as much as he loves Indiana and some of the fans really love him and his passion for this team, I don't think he should step on the floor because this is really about the future. And sure, one can make the argument that, you know, bring him back for the Big Ten tournament because you're putting all your eggs in that basket. But at this rate, it's going to be five games in 5 days for Indiana if they want to give themselves a chance to make the NCAA tournament. What should Xavier Johnson's role be, assuming he comes back? It should be somewhat soon, but then yet again, we're running out of games.
I mean, at this point for Indiana, you're one game above 500. You've got four regular season games remaining and potentially as few as one postseason game in the Big Ten tournament. I'm not going to say that bringing Xavier Johnson back and having him come back and start right away or even come off the bench right away is going to deter that much from anybody else, because if you're looking at the future and looking at guys who should be getting minutes because they're going to be a part of Indiana's future, especially in that backcourt that Xavier Johnson might be taking minutes away from, really the only guy is Gabe Cupp. CJ Gunn's future is up in the air with this Indiana program. Trey Galloway, while he's a part of the future, is 5 games where he takes gets his minutes reduced a little bit because of Xavier Johnson's back. That's not going to hurt his development. Anthony Leal is too old at this point to really be developed any further. Those guys are what they are. So Gabe Cupp is really the only guy that would take a hit as far as minutes are concerned with Xavier Johnson coming back. And he's already been thrown in the fire so much this season, Gabe Cupp, in his freshman season. So I'm not sure that Xavier Johnson coming back would deter his development or growth too much. I think it actually could potentially help Gabe Cupp's development because he's not necessarily in a lineup where he's being played alongside a like of Trey Galloway. He can actually play in an off-ball role because Trey Galloway, let's be realistic, he's not a primary ball handler. He is an off-ball secondary guy. So when you're throwing a lineup out there of backcourt of Gabe Cupp and Trey Galloway, you're asking Gabe Cupp, who isn't necessarily super comfortable yet this season, you're asking him to do a lot of the ball handling role in that lineup. And even if you're not, you have a guy in Trey Galloway who's not super comfortable as the primary ball handler either. So I think bringing Xavier Johnson back could potentially be a benefit for Gabe Cupp, allowing him to play alongside another primary ball handler who likes the ball in his hands, and he can kind of feed off and see what you have in Gabe Cupp as an off-ball guy who can maybe space the floor. I know we've seen that in spurts this season alongside Trey Galloway, but let's see him alongside a true number one, a true point guard in that backcourt.
Yeah, I agree, Zach. And I think as disappointing maybe as he has been, even when he has been healthy, I think the best your best team on the court or your best team is when Xavier Johnson is on the court. And I think right now it's easy to just say there's no way they're winning the Big Ten tournament. No way they make the NCAA tournament. They should throw in the towel. But I think it's so hard to throw in a towel on this season. I just don't like the idea of not putting your best team out there when you can. I get playing for the future, but it's not in a sport like college basketball. You technically always have a chance to make the postseason with the Big Ten tournament coming up. We saw weird Big Ten tournament runs. We saw what Ohio State did last year. It's very, very, very far-fetched, but it's possible. So I think not playing him in a situation like that just because of the future would be doing a disservice to I think the game of basketball and also to the Indiana fan base.
Yeah, Ben, I agree with what you're saying there. And to add on to it, this is a team and a university that's never won the Big Ten tournament. So you're asking Indiana and this team to do something that the Hoosiers have never done before, and that's win the Big Ten tournament to try and make your way to a third consecutive NCAA tournament appearance. The problem is, Gabe Cupp has been a guy who has done the things that maybe he wasn't necessarily expected to coming into this year. People were expecting him to maybe be a little bit of a better 3-point shooter than he was, maybe a little bit better of just a point guard type in general. But really, his best asset to this team is the energy he brings. And so when you're talking about what Indiana's best team looks like, it is with a guy like Gabe Cupp coming off the bench, providing energy, spelling maybe Trey Galloway or Xavier Johnson in that backcourt, and really providing energy and defense, which is not something that many Indiana fans thought Gabe Cupp would provide in his freshman season. That's really his biggest asset to this team.
We've talked about the things that have kind of stayed the same and things that haven't changed. You know, there was that one good stretch this year, and you know, it started, I think, that a game at Wisconsin where Indiana was competitive, and obviously the Hoosiers get another chance tonight to beat Wisconsin at home and turn away this 4-game losing streak. And even that the 8 days off between that against Illinois, they played well. They didn't make a three in that game. They almost didn't make a three again against Penn State. The issue for me here is, I'm not saying Woodson should be gone. I was never under that impression going into this year, but it's slowly the needle has turned for me. I'm not quite there yet. I'm not sold. I think he should definitely still get another year. For me, it's the blowouts. I mean, it's not just, I read something that Indiana is basically 500. They've lost, I think, 13 games this year. They're 14 and 13. And something like that. And like 8 of those 13 games have been by double digits. And the games at home as of late, Indiana's lost 3 straight home games to Penn State, Nebraska, and Northwestern. Those are the 3 teams I mentioned Indiana's going to go winless against this year. And I think all of them, maybe one, the Northwestern game was basically a double-digit game, but they made it a bit closer. But losing two of those three games by double digits, that's the biggest issue for me. It's not the way they lose. The way they are just getting blown out and beaten, especially on their own home floor, a place where they've now lost four times this year, I think. Four home games, if you include the Kansas one, which was more than I think the first 2 years combined, or at least close to that measure. So for me, Zach, I think it's the blowouts. And how much do you think the margin of Indiana losing has to do with Woodson's job security?
Yeah, I think you're onto something there, Austin. I think they're 10-5, Indiana is at home this season. And you're right, especially in this day and age where metrics are king. When you look at KenPom, when you look at those kinds of metrics, those are really the things that are getting teams into the NCAA tournament these days. And those kind of metrics heavily weight and heavily favor margin of loss or margin of victory. If you're losing a game by 2 points versus losing a game by 20 points, that will seriously affect how the advanced stats and the advanced metrics look at you, and therefore how the NCAA tournament selection committee looks at you. So I think that's definitely a big issue and a big deal. And the biggest problem in those scenarios when Indiana's getting blown out this year is the lack of fight. You are playing in the cream and crimson with Indiana written across your chest, and you are losing by 15 points to Nebraska at home inside of Assembly Hall. That's just something that can't happen. When especially you're coached by a guy in Mike Woodson that played at Indiana and that did some fantastic things as a player at Indiana, that's one of those things. You just cannot have that happen. You cannot be losing three straight at home to the likes of Northwestern, Nebraska, and Penn State by almost double digits or by double digits in those games. You have to have more pride. You have to have more fight. And that starts at the top with the head coach. That starts at the top with Mike Woodson. He's got to instill somehow in these guys. Now, it's not a ton of Indiana guys and homegrown guys on this Indiana roster, but he's somehow got to instill in these guys that you are playing for Indiana University. That means something more. It was earlier this year, I believe, when Victor Oladipo came into a locker room pregame, or it was at halftime, I can't remember exactly. But his speech was basically along the lines of, there are no last name on the back of your jerseys. It's always been that way because you're playing for the name on the front of your jersey. And right now, it does not look like Indiana's players are playing for that Indiana lettering across the front of their jersey. And that starts with Mike Woodson at the top.
All right, let's have some fun. Let's say they get frustrated with all these blowout losses and frustrated with being around 500 in a year that a lot of people, some people expected to be an NCAA tournament team. They fire Mike Woodson. What's the next step?
That's where it gets a little bit interesting, because there's going to be, once Mike Woodson gets fired, again, because this is Indiana University, there's going to be so many names that get thrown out there. The first one I think that'll get thrown out there the most is probably Dusty May with Florida Atlantic. But Florida Atlantic's 21-7. Yes, they've been good. Yes, they had a great run last year. But is Dusty May at this point ready for that jump to the Big Ten level? He probably is, and that's probably would be Indiana's first choice, Dusty May. Then you look at, there's a lot of options out there. There's very few guys, especially that are at mid-major jobs that are even at lower level power conference jobs, that would not jump at the chance to come be a head coach for Indiana University. Another guy that would jump off the page to me would be a guy like, I don't even know. That's a tough question.
Well, Bruce Pearl's thrown around there a lot right now.
Bruce Pearl is probably the only other guy that I would jump out and say he's definitely for sure on the list. I think you'd have a situation where, again, it's Indiana.
Scott Drew a lot.
Scott Drew would not be a name I'd be surprised if he's on the list, but he is a name if I would be surprised that was on the list above the likes of Dusty May or Bruce Pearl. I think Indiana's coaching search, and again, we've talked about it, I just mentioned it a few minutes ago, this is Indiana University. Outside of maybe Brad Stevens and what that whole fiasco was a few seasons ago before Mike Woodson got hired, Indiana's going to be able to pretty much get their guy, no matter who it is, unless it's a guy already coaching at a top 10 elite level job. So if you look at a guy like Bruce Pearl at Auburn, you look at a guy like Dusty May at Florida Atlantic, is there really any need to have more than those two guys on your coaching search list? I mean, Dusty May, you have to think, would love to come to Indiana. Same with Bruce Pearl. Yes, you'd obviously have to have some more guys. You'd have to do a little bit more due diligence than that. But realistically, for me, those are probably the two guys, and you're probably picking between those two guys if you're Indiana.
You rather have both of those guys than Scott Drew?
Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying.
I was wondering what category you were putting Scott Drew in there.
Scott Drew's in the category of he's at a really good Baylor team. And at this point, with what he's accomplished being a national champion, does he want to, quote unquote, start over and try and rebuild an Indiana program? He's probably in that sort of category for me, more so where Bruce Pearl and Dusty May, those guys would be taking Bruce Pearl. You could debate on if he's taking a step up with how Auburn's looked this season, but realistically he would be in terms of comparing Auburn basketball to Indiana basketball. So those are the two guys. They're in the, yes, they would like to come, and yes, there's probably some mutual excitement between both parties in those two guys' names.
Well, let's play the game where we kind of map out the rest of the season, or we play like the record game. What would Indiana have to do in order for Mike Woodson to be safe, be able, whenever the season ends and whenever Indiana is done, to wake up the next morning and know the job is secure? There's four games left. Obviously, like, they make the NCAA tournament, obviously, then his job is safe. They go on even a little bit of a run in the Big Ten tournament. But these last four regular season games, I mean, let's play this game. Do you think Mike Woodson gets fired if Indiana loses out and finishes 0-9, finishes on a 9-game losing streak? Is that enough for you to kind of to pull him?
It's probably not enough for me to pull him, but then again, I'm a 20-year-old college student. I am not the one in charge of making these decisions. If I was Scott Dolson, and if I were the Indiana donors in that sense, that would probably most likely be enough for me to pledge some NIL money and pledge some funds to the program to go out and look for somebody else, especially if I was a donor, especially if I was Scott Dolson in charge of this thing for Indiana. The issue for the Hoosiers, they have four games left. There's not a single game that I point to, especially with how they've been playing recently, and I say this is a winnable game for Indiana. You've got Wisconsin at home. We saw what Wisconsin has done this season. They haven't been great as of late, but that's not a winnable game for Indiana that you wouldn't jump off the page and say, yes, Indiana's going to win that game. Then you've got two road games in College Park and in Minneapolis. Those are not exactly tough games or easy games to win against Maryland and against Minnesota. And then you close out with Michigan State, and Michigan State might be having something to play for in that last game of the regular season as far as their NCAA tournament hopes are concerned. So if you lose out, including losing on Wednesday of the Big Ten tournament, Mike Woodson's probably going to be out of his job. That would just be my hunch. That would be my guess. That would be what I would think would be the case. And as far as Indiana, the rest of the season is concerned, I don't know if there's a magic number where Indiana has to win this many games. They have to win one or two games in the Big Ten tournament. It's really just going to be all about feel for this Indiana team. If they go into the offseason and there's still a sour taste, Indiana has won one of 15 games to close the end of the season, Mike Woodson's for sure going to be in the hot seat if that was the case.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let me ask you this. Scott Dolson made a pretty big decision, maybe the biggest of his job, when he got rid of Tom Allen. And obviously, you know, the big buyout that was attached to that and whatnot, obviously $15 million plus having to bring a new coach, pay him, figure that contract out. Do you think that has anything to do with the, you know, possibility of Woodson going? I mean, obviously getting rid of a football and a men's basketball coach in the same year at Indiana University, obviously not a football school, but definitely a basketball school, would be unheard of basically. Did that have any impact? And do you think Mike Woodson maybe could feel a little bit better about himself knowing that a lot of the money obviously went to Tom Allen, but we know Indiana makes a pretty good amount of revenue year-to-year basis?
Yeah, I would say it wouldn't shock me that much if Indiana were to part ways from Mike Woodson as far as doing it with football and basketball in the same season is concerned. This is Indiana. There's donors out there that will give as much money as they think is necessary if they really do believe that a coaching change is the right path to success for Indiana. The issue with Woodson is, don't quote me on this, but I believe his buyout at this point would just be the rest of his contract. And if this contract goes through 26, 27, he's making around $4 million. That's around $10 million, right around that mark for Woodson for a buyout. and then you have to go out and pay a top-tier coach. That's the difference with the football and basketball thing for Indiana. In football, you're going out there, you're bringing in a guy like Kurt Cignetti. You don't have to pay him an absolute monster contract. If you're going to go out and hire one of these top coaching candidates for basketball around the country, you're going to have to shell out some serious cash if you're Indiana. So the combination of having to pay that buyout for Mike Woodson and the combination of having to bring in and pay a new coach a premium contract as well, I could see that leading to some yellow flags, let's just say, for Indiana and their donors and Scott Dolson.
All right, this wasn't necessarily a Wisconsin preview, but the Wisconsin game is tonight. So we do this on all of our shows, timing-wise. Score prediction for Wisconsin, for the Wisconsin game, it's at home. Any chance of an upset?
See, prior to this losing streak at home for Indiana, I would say, yes, of course they have a chance. It's Assembly Hall. When does Indiana not have a chance to win at home? But again, that's just the type of momentum, and that's just the type of outlook that people have on this Indiana program right now. I mean, Wisconsin scored 91 points the last time these two teams met, and that wasn't even an overly efficient game. It was just Max Klesmit going off in that one. I would say I would expect Indiana to lose. I'll go with a score prediction of around 87 to 75. It's hard for me to believe that I'm saying this, but I don't think Indiana keeps it within 10 points at home against Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a team, they have something to prove at this point with how they've looked recently. They have to really put together a really good performance against Indiana. So I think 12, 13 points is probably what you're looking at, is what I'm going to give Wisconsin in a matchup.
I was asking about the score prediction of the baseball against Purdue Fort Wayne game.
Oh, in that sense, I would say it's a midweek. We're going to see 9 different arms, 25 to 20.
That's probably about right.
What will be interesting is we should think and place bets. Will Indiana have more points at halftime against Wisconsin, or will Indiana have more points against Wisconsin at the under 8 timeout in the first half than IU baseball scores runs against Purdue Fort Wayne?
That's an interesting one. We might have to talk about that off of the video.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I think Indiana wins this game. Screw it. We saw last year Indiana was reeling on a 3-game losing streak. The sky was falling, and they beat a ranked Wisconsin team at home. Wisconsin probably was a little bit overrated last year. They played like garbage as of late. It's going to be a low-scoring defensive game. Last year, the score was like 20-19 at the half. It was the worst game ever, and the halftime show was the highlight. I think that's actually been the theme for a lot of the Indiana games this year. The halftime shows are great. The actual quality on the basketball court during 40 minutes, not so great. I think Indiana wins a low-scoring game. I'll say 65-59, Indiana grinds one out, and I think this might be the last win Indiana gets, but I'll say they get one. I think they played well against Wisconsin on the road. Were they shorthanded? Did Khalil Ware and Renew play? Or was everyone available for that game at the Kohl Center? That's kind of a blur at this point, but I feel like someone was hurt.
Ben Ware on the call. Khalil didn't play. Yeah.
That's who it was. Khalil Ware was hurt. Other than that. So I'll say Indiana wins it. Ben, are you an optimist, or are you just in baseball season mode?
I mean, they can win. Like, once again, I still think it's just like weird things can happen at Assembly Hall. And what's interesting about it is, like, when you're a team like Wisconsin right now, this game is huge because it really can go one of either two ways. You're playing a team you definitely can beat, and it can just be that confidence boost, even though you don't have to play that well to get back on track and get the win. It's just the confidence that puts you on the right track. If Wisconsin loses this game, they're in panic mode. So that's what's so interesting about this matchup. I'm going to say they do get the win. I think it's higher scoring. I think Wisconsin this year is a little different than years in the past. Not because the pace is any faster, but they have more offense themselves. The defense is still the same. I think Malik Renew has a really good game. Maybe Khalil Ware makes a couple of threes. So I'm going to say Wisconsin 81-74.
Austin, I want to go back. What was your score prediction?
I think I said 65, like 59.
That's interesting you say that, because Indiana has not held a team under 70 points since January 12th.
So. Who knows? Wisconsin's played like garbage as of late, and I just think it's a defensive game. If Indiana's going to win one, it's going to be like a grinded out kind of low-scoring game, and Indiana goes to the past, and I don't know, Wisconsin, they just haven't showed me enough as of late. I thought they're overrated going into the year. And as a team last year, they performed well in the NIT, as kind of gave them the momentum this year, but they're kind of running into a roadblock. Zach, I guess one last question for you. In these last four games, what do you think Indiana's record is going to be? Well, if you think they lose to Wisconsin tonight, then that's 0-1. But in the last four games, what do you think the record is? And I guess in the Big Ten tournament, what do you see happening? Is it really going to be 0-5?
I will say 2-5. I will say they beat Minnesota in Minneapolis, and I'll say they win on Wednesday night of the Big Ten tournament.
I can't wait to watch that game on Peacock. I can't believe I saw that today, and I was like, wow, we have to actually watch it on Peacock, a Wednesday night game on Peacock. That's a disgrace. But then yet again, Indiana's played disgraceful basketball. All right, you say 2-5. I'll say 1-4. I say they get one of these. Well, they say they beat Wisconsin, they lose out. I think they could even lose to like Ohio State in the 12-13 matchup. They should have lost to them arguably in both games this year to the Buckeyes. Especially they were down by a ton on the road. So I'll say 1-4. Ben, are you got any what's Indiana doing these last five games? 4, 5, 6, whatever it is.
I want to copy Zach. But that's realistically what I think. And I think it'll be 2-5. I don't know what game they win, but I think they win one of these last four regular season games. And then I think they win the Wednesday night game. Just because it's an Indiana team that, once again, they don't have a real threat to upset anybody, but they're going to beat the teams they should beat. So if they get like Ohio State, even with how they're playing, I think they got a good shot.
Well, I guess that'll wrap it up for another episode of the House of Hoosier. Taking a bigger look at the picture for Indiana basketball, I think going game by game would just be like pulling teeth at this point. And so at this point, it's kind of the bigger issue now that there is a conversation that is being had, not only by Hoosier fans and Hoosier Nation, but it feels like those up top are also having to scratch their heads a little bit. And we didn't think that probably 3 weeks ago. But Zach, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate your insight as always. And I will let you go now and go watch your Pacers.
Thank you guys for having me.
For Ben Haller, I'm Austin Platt. Another episode of the House of Hoosier in the books. We'll talk to you next week.